Blog Talk Radio.
I like you, honey.
Come and shut it. Back it up right over here. Back it up right over here. Right there.
Coronavirus is still winning. Sport may have to wait. We're going to talk about, should it wait or should it not wait? We're going to take that opportunity. As I'm talking, I'm hitting and pushing buttons to make sure I get these people in. We're also being broadcast as well on Instagram and Facebook, starting with Facebook, and that handle is facebook.com/DR, which is Dr. L. D'Alberto Smith. Then we move forth to Instagram, and it's Coach Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith 15. So you have an opportunity to join us in several capacities. So we want you to be a part of this. We want you to make this thing do what it do, and we're going to have a ball tonight because that's what it's all about. It's just making sure we get the topic of sports out. Now, before I get started and with the co-host that's on the line, I want to mention the other co-hosts as they join in, but I want to let you know who those individuals are. Those from Central Alabama, our lady of the hour, none other than our queen, and that's Coach Lauren D. Smith. She's joined us from time to time. I want to share with everybody, Lauren is in school, also working, so she's trying to make a little extra money so she, before they get ready to start back to full-time public school system. Also, we have another millennial. Lauren is a millennial, another millennial, Cameron Gilmer, Coach Cameron Gilmer. We want him to also be recognized. He's in Central Alabama, from the South Central part of Alabama. None other than our resident high school expert, that's Coach Tony Touchdown Stallworth. And we also have a radio personality that joins us from time to time, none other than the conductor of the E-Train, the Don King of all things, hails from South Alabama, none other than Darrell E-Train Elliott. So those are the individuals, when they call in, going to join us. Now, let me take this opportunity to recognize one of the co-hosts on the line. This young man, so proud of the things he's doing. He's gradually growing into what career he wants to be in. We want to say congratulations because he actually had an opportunity to move to another school, and he took it. And he posted pictures on Facebook where he had an opportunity to go over to Liberty Middle School, and that's where he'll be residing for 2020 and 2021 up in North Alabama, the Huntsville area. He is our king, and we're so proud to call him king because he come hard, come right. That's why I'm so proud of him, because he enjoyed doing it. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach Trey? I thought I had Coach Trey on. Coach Trey, check and see if you're on mute, because I have you live. We'll look to get him on. I gave that great introduction, so Coach Trey, I don't know what happened to you, because I see you on the line. As soon as you get back able to work this thing through, make sure you just come on in, and we'll get with our discussion. Now, again, the title of our show is Coronavirus is Still Winning. Sports May Have to Wait. Coronavirus is still winning. Sports may have to wait. So what we want to make sure we focus on tonight, we spoke on some things that coronavirus have affected for this part, for the 90 to 120 days we've been dealing with it. We've been dealing with it long enough. We'll go along and say we'll recognize and say it's since March we've been dealing with it. So we want to look at some things and how it's causing sports not to operate, causing us not to more or less forget about the norm and look at a new normalcy. Before I move forward with that, I want to take this opportunity, and it's been a celebration, quite a celebration, for an icon, a civilized icon. A young man known to many as he transitioned not last Friday but the Friday before. He's known to many as the boy from Troy. He also will be remembered as the man that said, ain't no trouble like good trouble. Hails from Pike County, Alabama. One of the lieutenants from Dr. Martin Luther King during the Civil Rights Movement. And became a congressman for over 30 years in the state of Georgia. A member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. So proud to have. And at this time, presently, probably 30 minutes before, it was doing the Omega ceremony for him in Atlanta, Georgia. One of the last ceremonies before we move to the homegoing service tomorrow at 11 o'clock. None other than my fraternity brother. So proud to have walked in his midst in the same fraternity. A choice he had carved in his heart. None other than the Honorable Dr. The Honorable Dr. And I'm going to say it like that, John Robert Lewis. I'm so glad to say that because we've been celebrating. It is, we have our tears, but it's a celebration of joy. He has transitioned and he's now going to speak from high above, and he's going to make sure he shout out, don't stop with the fight. Keep on grinding because nothing like good trouble. So we want to take an opportunity now to recognize John for all the things he has accomplished, just being that civil rights icon, but many other things as a congressman out of the state of Georgia. And we just wanted to, and a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, and we just wanted to make sure we take an opportunity now. Let's move forth. And I hope Coach Edwards is able to get on and kind of see that he can share his thoughts. I'm seeing him on the board. But hopefully he's able to get through. I don't know what the holdup is. I see he just dropped, so maybe he'll try back again. I want to make sure we get him because last night we had such an awesome show last night. The guest on last night's show for the Dr. Lowe show was a distinguished young man. He's a resident. I mean, he's a more or less a relationship coach and strategist. And that was Pastor Eddie Pratt out of Dallas, Texas. Had an awesome show with us last night. And we really appreciate him joining us. But I'm hopefully we got Coach Trey now. Coach Trey, do we have you on the line?
Can you hear me, Doctor?
Yes, sir. I can hear you, man. I'm so glad to have you, buddy. Hey, I missed you last week because I tried, but something went crazy with the hookup. But you know what? We're ready to go tonight because we got fans and we got the audience. We have the listeners and the watchers both on Instagram, on Facebook, as well as Blog Talk Radio. And our title, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to make sure everybody will repeat it, that's Coronavirus is Still Winning. You know, we're keeping score. I hate to say it like that. Because sports is all about keeping scores to determine who's going to win. Sports may have to wait. And we want to start off, Coach, talking to our coaches' corner, talking a little bit about the cancellation list for the fall of sports is continuing to grow. And I'm going to run off a couple of conferences that have made the decision, and you can add to this and share your thoughts on that, even though there's going to either be cancellation or postponement. We have, at this time, my number is up to about 7 or 8. We have the Colonial Athletic Association, canceled on Friday and going to move to spring sports. We had the American East to cancel this weekend, the Atlantic 10, East Coast Conference, Commonwealth Coast Conference, Northeast Atlantic Conference. We know the Ivy League did it first. Then we have the New England Small College Athletic Conference. We have the Patriot League. Then we have the Big Ten and the Pac-12. We're only scheduled conference game. And we're not going to forget about the historical black colleges and universities. You have four major conferences there. You have the SWAC, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference, runs from Alabama over to Texas. Also, you have the MEAC, the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, runs up from, at this time, from Bethune-Cookman, which is Daytona Beach, all the way up to Howard University. That makes up those historical black colleges and universities in the Division 1AA FCS football subdivision. We also have the Division II historical black colleges. They counsel. That was the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, SIAC, the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. And just the other day, a local college in the state of Alabama, more or less in Montgomery, Huntington College, they play in a NAIA level or Division III. They counsel until the spring as well. Coach, you want to share some thoughts on that? Give us some feelings in regards to those the list growing bigger and bigger from last time we discussed and talked, because we're waiting on the ACC, we're waiting on the other Power Five, and even some Group of Fives to make some decisions. Give me some thoughts on that, Coach.
Big time decisions, Dr. Smith. Like we said, I'm not surprised at the smaller conferences saying they'll play in the spring or, you know, canceling period, but your smaller conferences will lose in this situation. The reason why the Power Five is going to at least attempt it is because of money, Dr. Smith. And I'm going to tell you something else that's going on. If they are successful with it, they're going to branch away from the NCAA. So it's going to be some seriousness. It's a lot of stuff to think about in these days and ages with that. NCAA could have pulled the string, like I said, like we talk about all the time, Dr. Smith. Go ahead and make the decision and be through. But if they don't, they're taking a chance of losing their money makers, and you're going to be left with scraps, man. But like we said, the people that are in positions to make decisions are not making them. That's the only thing in the world that surprises me about the coronavirus. We vote, we put people in place, and they just sit there. They sit on their money and tell you, we're going to put it in the districts. That has been the decision of everyone. I have never seen this in my life. Like everyone, even from you look at the local government, you look at the local school system, and you look at the Alabama High School Association. They are leaving it up to the local schools to make decisions on this. I feel like we put you in place to make that decision. You make it about everything else. I mean, that's my issue with the situation. I want to get kudos to Madison County. We have made a successful decline since we made the mandate to mandatory mask. I see Montgomery has been making some steps since they did the mandatory. We're trying to get Birmingham on board. Birmingham has peaked out of the water. Birmingham, Mobile. So once we get those two counties, major counties together, I think we'll be okay for the success of the virus. I feel like the mask should have been mandated in March when we first heard about it. I don't understand why we had to go through what we went through when China was on the back load of the virus. So I think we should have did what they did last to start with to prevent the virus from spreading. So that's just my piece with that. But like I said, kudos to Madison County, Montgomery County. We're making the steps we need to take to a healthy lifestyle. Go ahead, Dr. Smith.
Awesome, Coach. And I'm going to tell you, just to kind of add a little caveat to what Coach is saying about decision-making, it's important that we make our mind up, that we have to make decisions. a lot of times we are not willing to make a decision because of that thing we call democracy. We don't know in the United States the control democracy when people see it as controlling everything. We try to sit back and let people make some decisions for themselves, and that don't quite work in crisis. And I think that's, if we get down to the root of all of this, it started off with that same thought. That thought was that we know we can't get those individuals, and I don't know why my setup wants to start acting up, but we can't get those individuals to make the right decision. If I'm a leader, what is going to be the consequences for me? What is going to be the backlash? And it should be the hashtag that we have for this Smith Way production is hashtag One Life Matter. So we can't get caught up in worrying about what individuals talking about their constitution. We violating their constitutional right. We violating everything they got going on when it's not true. The truth of the matter is that we have to understand that we're not violating anything when we're trying to save lives. So that's one of the things that I want to kind of keep in mind when we're dealing with this. And everything Coach said is so true and quite understanding exactly what's going on here. The decision could be made. And to kind of add on what he was saying about the NCAA, the truth of the matter, the NCAA really never had the power anyway. The only power they have is to hand down consequences when people violate the rules. And if you got a legal team to fight them, they don't have the power to do that. So it's truly just showing up really how it has been all the time. We just thought because some schools ran into the problem of being penalized for some things that are done in the NCAA, looked like they were running things. The truth of the matter, all they do is listen to the presidents of these universities. And when they listen to these presidents of these universities, they sort of like carry the situation on and they make the decision. And that's the reason why. It's not that they can't do it. It's just that the presidents of the university run things. The NCAA has to listen to them. All they is a guiding force up there, and I think that's the biggest problem. Coach Trey, we want to kind of move forth, and I want you to kind of spend a minute, because I'm going to have to step away from the mic just for a second. I want you to kind of spend a minute about the High School Athletic Association and some of the things that are going on. And I'm going to ask our listener, just give us a minute, but I want him to share some of these things. I got to touch bases on some power setup. I'm losing some power here, but I'm going to get it straight. But I'll be back in front of the camera. Coach Trey, share some things about the High School Athletic Association and what we're dealing with, virtual learning. And I said high school sports versus academics. And I want you to really share your thoughts on that. And then as soon as I can get this power thing hooked up right, I'm going to get right back with you. All right, Coach?
Yes, sir. That's me. If I got you, let's roll.
Okay. All right. We just want to talk about. I can hear you. You can just speak up a little loud. I got to try to get some power situated. Go ahead on talk. I got you. We got you.
I'm here.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Like I was just saying, situations that people are dealing with at schools. Word of mouth, man. Word of mouth is all we have now. I feel like all athletic directors need to get on the same page and address situations and let us know we're doing it right. Ran into a situation with my former school where we're discussing how to meet with the parents. The principal saying, nobody's coming to school. I said, okay, well, you know, address the principal and let them know, you know, you want to meet with the parents in the parking lot, you know, to meet with them, talk about fees and whatnot. I said, we cannot just not meet with people. If you're going to do that, we don't need to be in school, period. We got to face reality. After these 9 weeks, we might be going into school. We might be going into a classroom. I went to work. My first day was today. I went to work today. Great environment, man. Everyone's wearing their mask. We're practicing social distancing, doing what we're supposed to do. But like I said, it's education. I believe this is the time for the weak to go home. If you are a weak principal, if you're a weak teacher, just stay at home. We got a job to do, Dr. Smith. Right now, we are essential to these kids. We can fuss about the virus all we want, but we got to work. End of the day, police officers never stop working. Firefighters never stop working. A lot of our city employees never stop working through the virus. What makes us different than them? So we have to do what we're supposed to do. Do what we're supposed to. Like I said, this is going to make and break a lot of teachers for doing what they're supposed to do as far as with their classroom. A lot of teachers won't make it through this. We got to face reality with it, guys. These are uncommon waters. So we're doing what we're supposed to do right now. I'm in Madison City. We're doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of emphasis on football. I see Birmingham City has canceled middle school sports, and I don't see that as a bad move. If you're in the eighth grade, if it's an issue for you to play ball, move up to the high school. But a lot of parents got to get under the impression that either you're going to be scared of the virus and keep your son at home, or you're gonna trust God and let them play. It's either or. So with that situation said, what we're dealing with right now is just everybody confuses, Dr. Smith. Everybody.
Yes.
So.
Yes, they are.
So.
Yes, they are.
So like I said, what the parents have to do, either like I just said, either you're going to send them to that practice and trust the coaches to do their job, or you're going to keep the child at home. And like a lot of parents don't want to make the decision, but they're going to fuss about everything they do. At Madison City, I've seen the every guideline that Alabama High School Athletic Association has sent out. I've seen it carried through. James Clement, that's the feeder program to the program Madison, the Liberty program that I'm in, that's the our feeder high school. They have 120 football players, and they're having practice. Like they practicing so deep, they have on masks up under their helmet. So it's for real. Like doing what they supposed to do. I'm gonna have to share that video with you too, Dr. Smith. But they look good. They use the new thing. Let me give you the new thing, Dr. Smith. Kids are taking their equipment home with them. That's the new thing right there. That's the difference. Kids are not in the locker room playing. After practice, they go straight to the parents' cars. That's a little hard to do depending on where your school is and the parents of the kids. At the school I was at, Chapman, that would be tough because I had parents showing up 45 to an hour later to pick their child up. But in Madison City, they're doing what they're supposed to do. Kids showing up with their equipment, they're responsible kids, showing up with their helmet, showing up with their shoulder pads, and practice jerseys. They're showing up ready, Dr. Smith. We hit their head, and we going on. But that's all I got, Dr. Smith.
That's awesome, Coach, because you said some things that a lot of people are not aware of because, you know, when they first talked about academics versus athletics, many of our parents need to be have to get an understanding, and I'm along with them. I care about my family being in these schools and these buildings when I know some of the buildings are not fit for anybody to be in. And let's just keep it real, and I can say specifically in the area I'm in, some of these buildings are not fit for any person to be in, whether they're students, teachers, administrators, or whatever. Now, the route that they took locally here, I thought it was the best route because of the condition of these buildings. However, when I always look at athletics, I never want athletics to overshadow academics. I want the same thing as coaches saying about what's happening in Madison County to happen in the other 130 four of 35 school systems, which I know is not going to happen. And I applaud individuals to make this move. You have county districts in this black belt in Alabama. You got the Greene County, the Sumter County, and you have the, I'm thinking it's, was it Perry County or someone else? Barber County Council Fall Sports. They knew they could not have the money, and this is the part about this that's concerning me, and I haven't heard anybody say this. Where is the testing being done with our young people? Everybody seemed to think because they walking in that age of, I would just say 10 to 19, they're not going to contract this. That is not true. And we have to have that understanding. Their body is built where they might not encounter it as fast, but there's too many deaths surrounding kids from that age. The only problem that the great move I felt like this school system made was to keep those children out of those buildings so they can get them clean and get them what they need to be, get them up to date. So for anybody to come in, is that these young people are the carriers. 10 to 19 are carriers of this. No, they may not be sick around you. Their temp might be great when they walk in, but when they go home, they carry it home to a parent or a grandparent. That is the difference of this coronavirus. This thing mutates, and a person or a little older may not be able to withstand it because the effect on the 20 to the 49 now is tremendously different than the way we thought from the beginning. So if, as Madison County is practicing what the High School Athletic Association said, but the other counties, are they doing it? Or are they making sure those students have masks? Can they afford it? Are they making sure those students being tested? And some people say they may not need to be tested, but you don't know that. You don't know the help. They have to go through a physical anyway. Why not take a test? I don't see that. That's the part that concerns me about here playing athletics and not making sure. The reason a lot of these conferences cancel, and I said it on a previous show, is finance. The finance is that you have to test these athletes three or four times. You can't test them one time because you can test negative and come back the next time and be positive. Or you can test positive, you can be negative and be positive again. So we have to keep that in mind. That's the reason these conferences we was talking about is cancellating, is going through postponement cancellation. They can't pay for the tests. It's all about money. These smaller conferences cannot pay for the test. That's why they made the decision to move it to the spring. So we'll get some understanding. That'll give us 6 to 8 months of understanding. And I'm not frightened about it. It's not going to be a vaccine that's going to help you. It might be a vaccine, but it won't be a vaccine to help you because it takes time for a vaccine to really work like it's supposed to. It's not to scare you. It's to let you know it's not going to be there. Some of us are throwing rocks out there and hoping everything hits something and hoping it don't get us. Sometimes we have to step beyond that. So that's my biggest concern. If you can't go into classroom, I don't think you can go into an athletic facility. And I know I've been in athletics. They ain't the cleanest place. I don't care what people say. They're not the cleanest place in the world. You know, some people got new facilities, do a lot better, but some of them don't. And just spread on the weights and do it. That ain't, we got to come and get a deep cleaning, clean out all that junk. How are we going to keep them? It's just so much. And I don't like to play with people's lives just so we can accomplish something that makes them feel good. Coronavirus is winning, people. You look at your numbers every day. Look at your numbers. Don't think these people. You know, first thing you said, well, they ain't practicing. No, they not, because they are actually transmitted communicable. They are doing it. And when you're in a setting with football and a setting with volleyball, and You're going to transmit this. Our prayer is that these kids are strong enough to withstand it. But it might be like the MLB, Major League Baseball, the Marlins. Started off with 3 or 4, now they up to about 17 of them. If it hits, and we have something like one of the representatives of the AEA, a death, we're going to have some problems. So, and on the side of caution, some system may can do it. One size don't fit everybody. I do know that. But I know something that will fit everybody, and that's something we all have to do is transition. So we have to keep that in mind. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1. Offer your ideas and thoughts. I'll make sure I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number. Then I'm simply going to ask you to give us name and location, and let's hear what you have to chat about. That's what we're talking sports. All right, Coach, we're going to kind of move forth really looking at the impact. What do you think will be the impact for college athletics? We know the changes being made. I talked about the postponement and cancellation. The impact once we do come to a new normalcy dealing with college athletics, dealing with high school athletics, dealing with professional athletics, after a sense of normalcy comeback of COVID-19. What's your thoughts? What would be the ramification? What will be happening? Tell me exactly how you feel, and I'm gonna add to that as well, Coach.
Well, when we get back to, you know, sports as we know, it will probably never be as we know for the next probably 2 years, Dr. Smith. I'm gonna say we 2 years. It's gonna be tough. Like, I look at that situation at Barber County. Now I'm looking at what you're doing to accommodate those kids that are not gonna be able to play. Are they gonna be able to play with the surrounding counties, or what is the plan? Because it's almost like it's unfair to them if Montgomery County playing, and why did we stop playing? You know what I'm saying? So it's gonna be a big deal in a minute, Dr. Smith. But like I said, Dr. Smith, if one person makes the decision and everybody's on the same slate, we're good. But when you have pieces like that happen, now you're going to have all kinds of problems. Me as a parent, if I'm an over-the-top dad and I see my son, he can possibly get a scholarship in playing football, and this is his senior year, I'm trying to get him to a county that's playing, Dr. Smith. It's getting bigger. It's tough, Dr. Smith. Like I said, man. But if the decision was made ahead of time, Dr. Smith, ahead of time, I can do what I need to do. If I need to move to another state or something that's low in numbers, where he can get those looks, or we can get some more film, Dr. Smith. You see what I'm saying? It's a lot of stuff that has to do with that I just don't agree with. But like I said, the decision was made at the top. We'll roll. And the colleges that, like you said, Dr. Smith, the colleges that are not going to be able to sustain this coronavirus is going to be the smaller ones that can't test, like you said. It's almost you don't know what to do, Dr. Smith. And like I said, how are the rec teams doing down there, Montgomery? Are they still playing this year?
I assume so. I'll be honest, Coach. I believe in what they tell me about a big dose of stay at home is better for me than a dose out there trying to see kids run behind a basketball.
Exactly.
Because I know how you're putting your family and your whole family in a bad situation out there doing that. So I don't want to be a witness to that, because I'm not going to be one. I told you so, but it's going to be some backlash coming here. And just to add counter what you were saying, Coach, something I have always said, because I have been in counties that their level of competitiveness in football hasn't been that well. And the counties I know that are not having fall sports, their success comes in basketball.
Basketball.
So
you're right.
So you got to think about it. See, I know for sure. You know, I know for sure when I was in the county just east of Montgomery as a head coach, we just didn't have the plan and the established program to do this. Your schools in Montgomery, because you got feeder programs, you have all that, but schools in Sumter County, you probably could possibly beat the sleeper out, feed them to sleep in football, but you can't do nothing with them in basketball. And they don't have the finance and the possibility. I applaud those administrators. They didn't have to wait on somebody in the state to tell them that. They made the decision for the best of their young people. Now, when we moved to the to late, you know, after the first 9 weeks, you now won't lose money. See, that's what our life. See, we're gonna, because if you are out there, you just, you know, got to pay games for what we call homecoming queens. That ain't good for any kid. Barber County, you know, Barber County hadn't done anything. They were probably 1-10 last year, 1-9 last year, but basketball, they was running up a state champion. So it fits what they're doing. Greene County the same way. Sumter County the same way. Lowndes County the same way. That isn't Selma need to be the same way, because they're not competing at the level they need to compete. So I think it works in their favor. They don't have to spend that money for football, which is an expensive thing. It's very expensive. And everybody, and the thing about it, your children just out there to stay in shape for basketball, so they're not going to leave and go somewhere anyway, because their big thing is going to be basketball. It's going to be basketball anyway. Some things work out for the best when you make those decisions. Those individuals had to look at the cost of them putting a team out there and nobody show up for the games. That's what we got to understand. No one's going to show up because their sense of fear for coronavirus. And you got to practice social distance. Your stadium don't sit about 1,000.
Something with that too, Dr. Smith. I got something about that. Mm-hmm. I wanted to address the issue that people were talking about with the stadiums. This year, Alabama High School has went to NFHS totally. They putting pencils in stadiums as we speak now. There are going to be a lot of pay-per-view games. The Alabama High Schools is going to make a lot of money off this. You're going to be able to see games that you don't technically see. That you can't technically go to, so I can watch 3 and 4 games from the house if I pay for it. I mean, they're going to be pay-per-view games. And that's the most realistic thing that I saw with this situation. I'm still waiting on Alabama High School to come with a scheduling deficiency, a new scheduling system. I would like to see more of less games. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's get the seasons over with and be through. And we can say we gave them a chance instead of playing all of these games in a row that they're trying to play. Muscle Shoals is trying to get Petey right now. I seen them on the news yesterday. They're talking about they canceled a game due to COVID. You cancel one game, and there's somebody that probably didn't want to play you anyway. So it's getting kind of crazy now, Dr. Smith. It would have been a big deal for Muscle Shoals to cancel a football season. But don't flirt with it. Don't play with us, Dr. Smith. That's what I'm saying right there. And act like you're doing something, you're not doing nothing. So you done went from 11 games to 10 games. So that's not a big deal. But I suggested to the Alabama High School Association to just play your regional games and go to the playoffs. You can push your season back. Like I said, we're having a little success with the mandated mask. You can push your season back to September, and we can play 7 games. If you have 8 games eight teams in your region, play 7 games and hit the playoffs. Top 4 teams go to the playoffs. But like I said, Dr. Smith, it's too much going on with me. But that pay-per-view, is gonna kill Dr. Smith. That pay-per-view is finna change the game. And with them doing that, it lets you and Montgomery watch Spartan play James Flynn up here. You see what I'm saying, Dr. Smith? And I can make money off of you. So that's gonna be a big deal. And like I said, you know, when we say money make the world go round, that right there is gonna make Alabama High School go round right there. Because they finna make some money with that, Dr. Smith.
Exactly. And that's what we have to keep in mind, is all about that. It's all about money. It's coming up. And see, that's the thing about how we make adjustment from the traditional or the conventional way of doing things in education and athletics to moving to a techno way to do it. Technology is what we need to do. So that's why I have no problem with virtual learning, because we have to move in that direction. It's a new challenge for us, and that's what education should be. Should be a challenge. Everybody have to make the adjustment. So the association is doing the same thing, and those schools going to receive something out of it too, because you're not going to be able to put the people in the stadium, because I don't care if you say you want to have high school, you still have people going to be fearful of going out there and sitting in those stadiums. I don't care what nobody say. You're going to have a percentage of people that's not going to go. It's not normal. So if you come up with a way to broadcast these games like they're doing in high school athletics, so those schools are to receive some of those benefits and offset what you're going to lose, because they're not going to be sitting there packed on top, because you can't do it. It's impossible for you to do. It's not going to be like normal. Not because you say you got a rule and you're only going to let so many people ready to just go sit back in there right now. So try new ways to do something different. Try new ways to teach our young people, because I believe it's time to do that, because they have cell phones, they have iPads, they play on games all night. They got ways to go and check everything you say. So it's time to make adjustments, and there's no problem with that. I think that's a challenge that every educator, challenge each coach, you know, each administrator ought to want to see, because it allows you to move into this. It was a five-year plan from 2015 to 2020, 2015 to 2020. It was a five-year plan. You're beyond the five-year plan. If you hadn't met what you did in those five-year plan, you better get ready for something new, and it is virtual learning. We can say what we want to. I can't. Yes, you can. You can do whatever you need to do when you need to adjust to it, and that's one of the things that we have to move forward. The caller number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on the line. You can share your thoughts. All right, Trey, let's kind of – we're going to move to the historical black colleges and universities. We have moved from a fall schedule, we know, even these other conferences I call, to a spring schedule. That means all of your games, all of your events, all your athletics are going to be going on in the spring. I come up with a plan that might can work. I want to share with the listening audience, and you can offer your thoughts about it. By setting up in the spring what we call two seasons. We're going to have two seasons. We're going to have season one that's going to start on actuality on January 2nd. And in season one, these are the sports, teams and sports that's going to be participating based on my. And I'm going to relate this to the SWAC and the MEAC, SIAC, as well as CIAA. That's what we're looking at. First of all, season one will include teams of basketball, men and women, starting on January the 2nd, because they're going to have all preseason, all of the fall practice, starting January the 2nd. The first contest is on January the 2nd for men's and women's basketball. For volleyball, all of them, everybody's going to start on January the 2nd. That'll be another sports that's going to participate in season one starting on January the 2nd. Bowling, they will be participating in. And cross country, they'll be participating in starting on January 2. And the last cup will be on March the 6th in season one. So those out the way. So you ain't bumping heads. You ain't bumping heads. But I want you to keep in mind, Trey, and the listeners, normally conference play for these teams, the SWAC, the MEAC, the CIAA, and SIA don't start till January anyway. So they're not losing anything. They can stay on their schedule and not get off schedule. And plus, for a lot of places, these are the coldest time of the year, January and February. So you don't have to really be outside and put fans outside. It start warming up a little bit in March. I just want you to keep that in mind. So the final contest, last contest for those sports will be March the 6th. On January the 25th, we're going to allow the season two sports to be in what we call a preseason. And the season two sports is football, baseball, softball, and track and field. Now, I might be missing something there, but those are the sports that normally goes spring, late spring anyway, baseball, softball, and track, but they still start practicing real early. If you remember, you can see them out there hitting a baseball in January. So this is nothing uncommon for them to do. Their preseason will go, and their first contest for football would be on March the 3rd. Third is a Thursday. That's the first contest. And that Saturday will be the 6th. And they'll go through till they play the championship on May the 8th. Softball will play their championship on May the 15th. Look at their schedule. That's what they do anyway. They be playing softball and baseball with folks out of school. They ain't graduated. Then you have baseball going to be played on the 22nd of May. Track and field will be concluded with the championship on May the 15th, and any other sports that I'm missing will fall in that category. What do you think about that, Coach? Is this something I've been thinking about? How can we do this to meet all the needs and everybody don't play at the same time? What do you think about that, Coach?
I agree with that big time, Dr. Smith. Like you said, you can't run every season over each other. That's going to be tough to do, and you will lose money doing that because you'll have fans, oh, man, I just went to the basketball game Thursday. I can't go to the football game on Saturday, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be now playing basketball in the spring is going to be different anyway because of your tournament, your March Madness. So I'm excited about it, and at the other part, I ain't going out there, Dr. Smith. You see what I'm saying? I'm excited about it. Even though they're making history with having a Magic City Classic in March, I'm excited about that. But like you said, Dr. Smith, I ain't going out there to see it. Like I said, I watch it on TV. We're cheering and keep the camaraderie going on TV. I mean, on the phone, and I'm going to watch it on TV. But the way you just playing that out, Dr. Smith, is the way they need to go. I agree with that totally.
That's awesome because this thing, again, basketball, and if they start on January the 2nd, men and women, they'll be through with those conference games now. That's going to be the focus. The other games they played in December and November was not conference games. So it falls in place with them. And you hit it on, you know, we hit it on the head where they threw by time March Madness and they can go to the tournament. Because the other schools are going to be following their regular schedule if they continue how you're thinking they're going to do. If they're going to play football, like they say they're going to play football. If they're going to play basketball, then March Madness come into play around March to, 12, 13? So they'll be through with it. Men and women be through with it. So it works out, and football will be just getting started. And most of the tournament will be over for some of them anyway, so they won't be playing anyway. So we've got two major sports out the way, women and men basketball for the historical black colleges. That's what I'm focusing on. And then we'll have football, which will pretty much, just remember, Trey, spring training is always like late February and March, and they don't play the spring game until April anyway. So they're not going to be out of their element in a football uniform in March, in April. I want everybody to just think about spring training when they have their A-Day games and and blue game and red game. It always happens late April. Yes.
I got a question, Dr. Smith, too, with that. It applies to the eligibility rules. Do you think they will have kids in the SWAT that will enroll early to play in the spring, Dr. Smith? That's a question I got for you right there.
The way the eligibility rules really say this, a person has to enroll at the beginning of the academic year to be eligible.
Yeah,
you know, eligible to play. They can't come in, even as a transfer, you can't come because you have to go through a clearinghouse with the university. So even when they came in, that's why you see players have to sit out a while. You know, in basketball, you see that more so in basketball. When you watch these games, this player just transferred to the historical black college and university. He can't play until they get their eligibility straight, and sometimes it be to the next year. So no student will be able and can't now just come in January and play anyway just because you're playing football. This going to be based on your enrolling in August, because we start school at Alabama State University on August the 12th. Our students and my first group of interns goes out on August the 11th. So that school is already in motion. So you have to enroll at the beginning of the year to be eligible to play in this pushback of fall sports. So no one will be able to come in outside unless you enroll in the fall. So if you enroll in January, you won't be able to play until to the next fall. So you're trying to get your eligibility like that. Even with a high school senior who graduates, he still can't come there. He can practice with them, but he cannot, in, you know, more or less participate in that sports doing because they hadn't earned the eligibility yet. He has to be there at least a semester and earn a they got to have an average as well. So that's one of the things with that. So this is what I have here. And this only my thoughts and my suggestion to the historical black colleges and universities, to the other nine other conferences who are going to play in the spring. You're going to have to make it fit with what you already have. And it's not going to be difficult because basketball truly don't start for the SWAC until January anyway. Right after the, January 1st, that's when they start playing conference games. So it fits right in line with them. It don't matter about them other games before December. Those games, they got beat to sleep anyway. And, Trey, we talk about this all the time. You may be losing money on that end, but you also know what the circumstances is now that you can't put your young people in that situation. You can't put the university financially in a situation where they're not going to be able to play. So I think that's something we have to look at, and we'll move forward. And Coach Trey, you know, the hour is already gone, my man. I tell you, it's been so good tonight.
That's
it. And I do appreciate you sharing the load and sharing thoughts. And I hope everybody getting something out of this situation. You had an opportunity to call in and share your thoughts. I see some people that was on Facebook. You could type your thoughts on it. And that's what we're all about, giving you an opportunity. It's been awesome tonight. Coach Trey, I want you to get this out. You have a minute to share. I got several people I want to give a shout-out, but let me give them shout-outs before you said your parting words, okay? We have Carol Davis who's joining us. Thank you so much, Carol. She's joining us, and we're so glad to have her, and she's our one of our loyal listeners. She listens all the time. Thank you so much. We have a list of other people I want to give shout-outs to. We have Rachel Robinson, out of Florida, the state of Florida, Northern Florida, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We have Denise Stephanie out of Berkeley, California. She's the founder of Behind the Mask Ministry. And thank you, Denise, for joining. Brian Steele, a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, one of my frat brothers, came through over there at Alabama State University, Gamma Beta Chapter. Thank you so much. Erica Butler, Dr. Butler, she worked with me. She reminds me when she see me here and I, you were the first one that gave me a job. Put me off in this career education I did. Thank you, Dr. Butler. She's worked. Thank you for being supported and listening to the show. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. We also have my frat brother, Don Delaria. I'm saying it, Don. You're going to get on me. I know you are. Richardson, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, Incorporated. Allison Collins, thank you for joining us. Pamela Ingram, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated. Demetria Besser, member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Incorporated. Rolinda Brown, a relative, cousin, first cousin, thank you for joining us. So we look forward to giving everybody a shout-out. It's been awesome tonight. Trey, any parting words that you have?
Yes, Dr. Snow. Key thing, the one thing I feel that the public has to do with teachers and coaches, help us through this moment. This is our livelihood. This is what we do. We got to work. We got to educate children. Being the circumstance, you got to coach your children. So, help us through this moment. Follow your rules and regulations. Teach kids about the rules and regulations. Help us out with that factor. People on the outside, pray for us. I understand your concerns. We got to work. At the end of the day, we got to work. Just pray for us. Help us through our well-being. Help us stay healthy. I'm going to say, keep it blunt. Just stay healthy. Help us be healthy. But that's all I got, Dr. Smith. I'll see you next week, Dr. Smith.
Thank you so much, Coach, for joining us tonight. It's always good to have you. And that's what he said. I'm going to just repeat that. Help them to stay healthy by making sure your child is healthy and checking on your child when they're coming face-to-face out on these football fields and all that. Let's do that as parents. We've got to do this together. We have to. There's no other way we can do it. My hashtag and the show hashtag is One Life Matter. We have some T-shirts coming. If you want one of those T-shirts, all I ask for is the price for shipping. Just go to my email, which is LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Let me know your size. And just it's $4.95 for shipping and handling. And you can get you a free T-shirt saying hashtag One Life Matter. And have the name of our Talking Real to You team on the back. And we're going to get some made for Talking Sports Plus and so on. So please make your request. Again, my email is LorenzaDSmith15@gmail.com. Let us know your size and let us know where we can ship it to, and the cost is $4.95. Get you a shirt. Appreciate all these individuals joining us tonight, and all those of the Divide Nine joining us, the organizations have membership that's on the show tonight, that's live on the stream. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Second hashtag is responsible. Be responsible. Please be responsible. Follow the measures. And last but communicate for understanding. Keep on grinding. But last but not least, our show is about love. And I always try to end my show with this, and I'm going to make sure I do that. And as I get ready to do that, I'm going to play a little music. We don't own the rights to it. But it's all about steady love for one another. That's what we're asking for. And as we close out, check us out on Monday night, Talking Real to You. I'm glad to have you. Because you know what? I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome night from Talking Sports Love, Dr. Smith.
Talk about anything. He's got nothing to hide. He's not afraid of his feelings. He's not a slave to his pride. He's giving me love so steady. He touches my heart. perfect compliment, 'cause I'm a boss in my world. But when we're together, he just makes me feel like his girl. He's giving me love so steady. He touches my heart. Now I'm ready. He touches my soul.
Thank you. from heaven's above.